read you a verse of scripture in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, it speaks in verse 6 about having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. And the next several verses, all the way down through the rest of that chapter, almost continuously, is talking about these differing gifts that the Lord has given through and by His grace. In verse 12, he mentions being given to hospitality. Now, you may not have thought of that this way, but if you put it in context and read it, that is a gift. Did you know not everyone has that gift? Not everyone is hospitable. But if you are hospitable, that's a gift from the Lord, and it comes from His grace. I certainly want to emphasize that given to hospitality this morning, because I was sitting there during song service recalling the first time I was invited over to fill some appointments in the state of Alabama. It was about 1975. I might be off a year, but that's 19 years ago. And if you just keep going over there, finally some of them will come over here. And we're thankful to have Elder Roy Coker, pastor of Center Point Primitive Baptist Church from Birmingham, with us this morning, and his wife, Sister Claudine. He's got one of his deacons with him and his wife, Brother Charles Farish, and his brother, Elder Edwin Farish, is pastor of Mount Pleasant Homes Primitive Baptist Church at Birmingham. And I've been in his home and in that church and with them, and we're glad to have them. And Sister McWhirter is traveling with them also, and glad to have her here this morning. They've been to San Antonio, and they're touring Texas right now while the wildfires are pretty. And they're planning on driving up through the hill country to Fredericksburg and around. But anyway, I've got the privilege of being hospitable to Brother Roy and ask him to come forward and take what time he wants to preach for us this morning. And I'll follow him. If he takes all the time, I'm going to ask all of you to remember those that are sick and afflicted. Those we need to pray for, let's pray for the preaching service that's immediately before us. And I'm going to ask Brother Charles Farish to lead us in prayer at this time. And you pray with us. Brother Charles, would you pray with us? Let us bow.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
oh Lord,
holy be thy name. Feeding this morning, gracious Lord, the least among the least, to call upon thy great and holy name. But, oh, Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for many blessings that thou hast poured out upon us all the days of our lives. We thank you this morning to have the opportunity to bow down before thee, to call upon thy name. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that thou hast given us a mind enough to understand where the truth lies. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy Son, that died on the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank for thee this morning that thou hast come with us thus far, and how wonderful and how blessing it is to travel so far and to be able to come together on a Saturday morning with some of our precious people. Heavenly Father, we feel that we are the strangers that's traveling here in the world. But when we come to a place like this, we don't feel we're strangers. We feel we're among our kin. And these things, gracious Lord, are precious to our soul. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning to bless the sick, wherever they may be, especially those that has to remember them. We have some at home, gracious Lord, that thou needest our power so much. We ask the Heavenly Father, it would be thy will to grant them their health back again. If it be thy will, if not so, if those, Heavenly Father, that are around you, loved ones that have, that will understand. Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless the one to come before us, to give us a message of our country. Be with them, gracious Lord, that they may give us something that would be edifying unto us and pleasing unto thee. We ask thee to give us the ears to hear and the mind to understand. We be careful to give thee the honor and praise and the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother. Brother Lord.
Got to ask for such a kind way of expressing his thoughts. And We're just thankful that God has blessed us to be here and visiting his home for a little while. Yesterday, last night, he said he's been coming to see us for many years. You don't know, there's just something that when we hear he's coming our way, we want to go and be with him. I believe it's because he has a message from home. And wherever we go, we love to hear that message from home, a message from a far country.
Yeah, amen.
We're in a far country. As far as in nature, we haven't seen a person that we knew, recognized. But as was mentioned in the prayer, when we came here, we didn't feel to be among strangers. We were down in San Antonio, and all those folks, it seemed like they were strangers. They didn't smile at us unless we were probably ordered from the menu or something like that. Here, Elder Bass has taught you well to show courtesy when strangers come among you. We appreciate the kindness that's already been shown us. We ask Brother Elder Bass to take the time, because there's only five of us that can come over here and say, I know they want to, or four, want to hear him instead of me. But I feel like it would be that way at the church.
No, we want to hear you. We hear him all the time, but we want to hear you today.
There's more of us than there are you.
I usually get out voted. Even if it's just my wife and I. Many things that we would like to relate to you from the standpoint of the blessings that we have received sitting under the sound of the gospel as Elder Bass has brought it to us. We don't want to preach Elder Bass, but we want you to know that we as people of God in that part of the country love him, how they esteem him for Christ's sake. In the beginning of the singing, Sister McCarter was telling us some of the things that she had experienced and so forth, and one of the songs that she thought about that helped her so much. And I turned over there and I thought I'd get up in there to call it out, but it wasn't. Song. I love to hear it. I love the song right here. I knew she would. And the second song we sang, number 53. And it just made me feel like we were at the right place. The Lord bless us for a little while. We want to bring some thoughts to you and find the first that we'll read to you is found in Isaiah, the 64th chapter and the 8th verse. I know that there's nothing that I can bring to you that has not already been preached to you many times. And if we could, the Lord would lead our minds for just a few minutes. We want to confirm those things that you believe and the things that have been precious to you since you have known the truth in the Lord. So, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So many things that we think about when we read who God is, what he has done and who we are and what he has done for us. We are the clay. We were driving through this part of the country and noticed the soil. It looked so black and it looked like it was very fertile. Back in our part of the country, when you look at the clay, there's just nothing to it. And being raised on the farm, you go over close to where the soil had grown in, it was down to what we referred to as the clay, with this other things that also mixed in with the clay. But whenever we think of clay, we think of that which the potter has taken and molded and shaped and formed. And when we begin to think of that and what this potter that he's speaking of, that we're thinking of here, and when we think of this clay, I am studying and reading some about clay. It is seemingly just about as worthless for producing a crop or anything to grow and mature. There's just no food value from that source. And the more that we work it, the more that we move it about, the harder it gets. And I believe, and I know that Elder Bass, correct me if I'm in error, but I believe that when we ourselves take a lump of this clay and we try to work the clay and mold it and change it, it just gets harder and harder and harder.
Amen.
And it just gets about as hard as a rock. But when the Lord touches that clay, it's so powerful. And when God touches our heart, and we're blessed to hear the gospel preached, it's so soothing and so comforting. And with clay in its hardness, when the gospel is preached upon or preached to that, it just bounces off. It has no effect. But if God has touched that clay and the gospel is preached, it just finds a resting place. And you know, all the beauty that is in it, that when God touches that clay, and you can then begin to see the fruit that comes forth from it, that affection, deceit, affection that's within your very being, and you see the work of God on that little rock of clay, it begins to bring forth fruit. And the fruit that it brings forth, we're able to feast upon it and rejoice. And that fruit that lump of clay begins to bring forth,
And God, as the potter, begins to mold and to make that clay into a vessel of honor, a vessel that the Lord uses. And I'm sure that you happen here. I'm sure that you've seen them come and go the way of all men. I'm sure you have experienced the joy of when God took that little lump of clay and made it into a vessel of honor, and it come forth desiring baptism, and then come forth walking Eunice of life. And they brought joy to your soul. He is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the potter that makes these vessels able to serve Him. And without that, unless He takes this clay and makes it fit for the kingdom, it will not be in the kingdom. And we all are the work of thy hand. Aren't you thankful this morning that God has blessed you to understand and know that you are the work of His hand? You know, we find a psalm that tells us so much, teaches us so much of what He has done. The 100th Psalm in the 3rd verse says, "Know ye." Well, unless that piece of clay has been touched, unless that piece of clay has been molded and made to know something, we'll not know it. He's not speaking to us that we just begin to know the Lord. It says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Know ye this morning, children of God, that He is a potter and that we are the clay. And when we look at that lump of clay as a clay in nature, it's just about as worthless as anything that you'll get. But know ye that the Lord, He is God. Oh, and we can just know that. And I love to be among God's people when I can experience and feel within me that surely the Lord is among us. As the apostles, as it was said of them, after that they had been persecuted and so forth, surely they have been with the Lord. When we can know Him in that sense, it causes us to rejoice. It gives us that desire that, and I believe that we can be lifted up sometimes to the point where we can say, "Though He slay me, I trust Him." How could those of old say such things? How could the Hebrew children say, "He may not deliver us"? But he's able. They knew something about their Lord. And that's what we desire in this life, that we might experience the things of God, that we might know Him just a little better.
Amen.
But as the psalmist, these parts, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. I think that's one of the principal things that the old Baptists believe and have believed all the days of their lives. And I believe that this is something that has delivered us from time to time from the things of the world, the teachings of the world. You know, they can take clay and they can mold it and they can make it beautiful. And they can do a lot of things with it. But they can't ever make it fit for the master's use.
No.
But they can deceive God's little children.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could remember, as children of God, this very plain, simple, easy to understand verse of Scripture, our part of this verse of Scripture, it will deliver us. We are his people. And it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. When we are deceived and maybe entertain the thought that, well, we can do just a little something to cause God to love us, or that we have to do just a little something, and if we'll do that, then God will love us. If that has been entertained in our mind, someone has taken the clay and made it and molded it almost enough that they feel that they can be fit for the master's service. But when we see ourselves as clay, and we realize by the mercy and the blessings of God that it is he that has made us and not we ourselves, then we can rejoice in those things of God. Then he causes us and makes us to rejoice in those things. Without the works of God, one of the simple verses of Scripture that, again, if we understand it, if God blesses us to understand it, and we hear it otherwise, we'll go back to this Scripture. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Doesn't that put to flight much of the things that we hear in this life? And if we could remember that, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Therefore, we understand in that he loved us, yea, before even we were born into this world. And there are those that would have us to believe that the old Baptists, or the doctrine that the old Baptists believe, is a narrow doctrine. There'll just be a few in heaven. And that way is so narrow that even if you got in that way, it would be by accident. But aren't you thankful this morning that God has taken you as a worthless, useless piece of clay and made you what you are. And that we love Him this morning because He first loved us. And I don't know anybody that goes back any further than that which we believe, in that God loved us back down there, that some may refer to as the morning of eternity. Well, there's no morning, noon, or night in eternity. But it, long before this old earth was ever spoken into existence, God loved you. God chose you. And all the plans that He had and He made them was just as secure then as it was ever. But what we rejoice in today is that God loved us so much, knowing what we are by nature, taking this little lump of clay and making it holy. And in the process of time as we know it, He looked down upon us in mercy and draw us to Him and made it known to us that He loved us. And in that He caused us to love Him. You know, it's a hard thing to go out here in the world and see someone and just start loving them. I don't think that is the way God planned things. But you know, I believe that when God takes that little piece of clay, it's not loving, it's nothing to behold, and it doesn't love anything else. But when God takes that little piece of clay and tenders its heart, and He hears the gospel preached, right then He loves it. He loves the things of God. He loves something bad that He's never loved before. And it's still a mystery to Him. He hasn't revealed all these things to us that we might know it. But He's revealed enough to us that it causes us to rejoice in what little we know. And you know, they claim, and many people say that, I was like you old Baptist. If the only thing I had was hope, I just wouldn't have anything. Have you ever tried to throw it away? Have you ever tried to get rid of it? I tell you what, you need not try to do. Take it out here and try to sell it to one of these little lumps of clay that God has never touched. They wouldn't have it. But if you ever come to the point that you want to sell that hope and not have it anymore, you're on dangerous ground. I don't know whether you really have a true hope or not. But if you have the hope in Christ Jesus this morning, it is the most precious thing that somebody said.
Yeah.
When loved ones come and go, and when you're made to feel all alone, you'd be walking by yourself or driving up on the highways, and then He makes you feel at ease. And there's no trouble around you. Rest assured that you're in good hands.
Yeah.
But an insurance company notice advertises and says you're in good hands. But you know, there's been a lot of insurance companies that folded and went bankrupt. A lot of great banks have had to be rescued by their government. And we as a people have grown to expect the government to rescue us, whatever comes before us. But you know, there's a time and times that come to us that not even Uncle Sam can rescue us. But yet, when he touches us, when he touches this little lump of clay, oh, how good it is. And the storms may be all around us. The sea may be boisterous. But when he speaks peace to our souls, there's a peace that comes over us that can't be explained. Mm-hmm. You just can't tell anyone else the peace that comes to you when everything else fails. And in closing, it seems to just put a capstone to all of this. That lump of clay can read and understand and read what the psalmist David says, "For the Lord is good." That's sufficient. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Aren't you thankful that this has come down to this generation? It was good then. The Lord was good to his people. The Lord is always he's been merciful. And his truth even come to us this day. May God bless you as a people, as a church. And may he be with you in every endeavor. Because God has taken you as that lump of clay. And he has made you and molded you. And he has placed you in his service, in his kingdom. And as Alabast mentioned in the beginning, the gifts, speaking of the gifts. There are so many gifts in the church. And if he has made you and molded you and placed you in the church, well, child God, you have a gift. Use it to praise and honor God. And if you're ever over in our part of the country, we'll be so happy to see you and meet with you. But if we never meet again, may God bless you and keep you. So we meet under the doorway. And we'll not see each other then as a worthless lump of clay. But we'll see ourselves and see you as that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the world that you're living in. May God bless you, gentlemen.